Hey guys, it's Gavin from Team Iron Core, and I'm here to talk to you about a new series today that I'm introducing called Card Car P, where the P stands for podcast. I drive back and forth a lot of different places, and I thought I might as well give you guys some podcasts to talk about some Yu-Gi-Oh! Hence the Card Car P, where the P stands for podcast. Today, I want to talk about rogue decks in general. I feel like rogue decks never get enough love. I feel like any tournament I've ever been to has nothing but meta decks. Unless you're seeing some kids who don't necessarily know how to build meta decks, and then you're going to see other stuff. So, that's what I'm talking about today. One thing I've noticed recently, when I become more skillful and I started playing better decks and stuff, as I stopped playing my fun rogue decks, like, I haven't built Gagagas, I haven't built Ice Barriers in a long time, and only recently did I ever put back in sleeves Fableds and Karakuris, like pure Karakuris. So, these are some of the decks that got me into the game of Yu-Gi-Oh! Because how fun they are. They do really, really ridiculous things, and they make fun combos. They're not very consistent, but when they do the combos, it's like you're smiling ear to ear, because it's the best thing ever, and everyone like comes around and watch you do this awesome combo. That's what Yu-Gi-Oh! Is about to me. Now, Yu-Gi-Oh!'s in competitive scene, like, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, and I've gotten into that a lot recently, and it's really fun, and I really enjoy being competitive at Yu-Gi-Oh! However, at the same time, I wish some people would get back to their good old rogue roots. I haven't done this in a really long time, and I'm making this podcast because I've been inspired to do it myself. So I'm hoping I'll inspire some of the players with me. One thing I've noticed is now some tournaments, I understand you want to play good decks. Like, don't get me wrong. If you're going to regionals, I'm not going to give you an Ice Barrier deck and expect you to play it. Like, that's ridiculous. Don't play that. Play something that you're comfortable with and good. That's good. But if you're going to a Saturday morning tournament that's free, you don't necessarily have to play your Tier 1 Silva deck or your Tier 1 Gear deck or whatever. You just play something fun, you know what I mean? You just gotta play something that you enjoy playing. I mean, sure, you get a prize or two, or a pack or two for prizes, but it's not that important, especially when you can have some fun on a Saturday tournament. Unless you're training for a big event or something. And it's, in any case, if you're training for a big event, probably a Saturday morning free tournament is probably not your place to do it. That's just my opinion on the thing. I feel like people should be playing these rogue decks more often, because Konami prints all these cards, and they've never even seen a set of sleeves before. I think it's really sad that some of these decks that should be played, they're maybe not the most broken or do something ridiculous, but the combos are hilarious. I think they really should be played. For example, back when I used to play Ice Barriers, like, the deck, if you've ever seen Ice Barriers, the deck gets more hate than any other deck in the game of Yu-Gi-Oh! That I can possibly imagine. Except for something that's maybe, like, degenerate. Like, I don't know, Dragon Rulers in their time. Like, those get a lot of hate because they're so degenerate. But everyone loves to play them. But Ice Barriers get so much hate because, for some reason, they just can never set up correctly or quickly. When Dragon Rulers came out, I actually got the deck to work pretty well and almost, I almost won a duel, lol. I was at Gen Con when I built this deck. I built title barriers. Basically what happened is I was running three title and ice barriers. I think I may even run a baby dragon if I'm not mistaken. I think I did run one baby dragon. What happens is title in your hand lets you discard your ice barriers to the graveyard like Gantala, and then you can special summon the back out with Prior of the Ice Barrier and cards like Call the Haunted. And during Dragon Ruler format, when you could run three titles, this deck was really strong. Now, I'm not saying it's good, but it was strong because you could bring on big beat sticks and they could recur themselves, and the deck had the ability to make a lockdown that was really, really difficult to get over, and there was not very many things in the game of Yu-Gi-Oh! That could actually get over the lockdown except for, like, a full board wipe, and that's what you just ran. You just ran outs to board wipes. Like, all your traps was basically out to board wipes and stall power. So, if you guys don't know what the Ice Bear Lockdown is, basically what happens is if you get this guy named Daisojo of the Ice Bear, he's a level 6 monster, so you have to tribute him or special summon him. When he's on the field, he gets changed to defense position, and when he's on the field, no Ice Bear monsters can be destroyed by spells or traps. So, like, even your own spells or traps, if you call the Haunted, you can chain, and your opponent chains MST to call the Haunted, Daisojo will survive, or whatever monster you will survive if you have it on the field already. So that's a really good card. So that starts the spells and traps from your opponent, which is nice. Next card they have is called Defender of the Ice Barrier. He's a little, like, fox-looking thing. He is level 3, 1600 defense, like 100 attack or something. You put him in defense, and what it says is when this card is in defense... Actually, it doesn't say that. If this card cannot... Hold up, let me think what it is. It's been a while since I've read these cards because they're so bad. Defender of the Ice Barrier says if you control another Ice Barrier monster, your opponent cannot declare an attack on any of your Ice Barrier mons, or maybe even declare attack at all, as long as you have another, if their attack is higher than defender's defense. So all the Ice Bear monsters, attack or defense, was at least 16. So if you put defender of the Ice Bear on the field with another Ice Bear monster, your opponent could not declare an attack at all. They could not declare an attack at all. They had to get over with a monster effect. So if you, they couldn't attack you, and if you had Testojo on the field, they can't use spells or traps against you that destroy. So they do something that would target like a pulse or like deep res or something. So that was the only thing they really had against you. Next card was called Secret Guards of the Ice Barrier. Its effect says when this card is face up on the field and you control another Ice Barrier monster, your opponent cannot target Ice Barrier monsters for effects. So that means they can't Big Eye you, they can't Bear Pop you, so that's, that gets over the fact that they can do a monster effect. So that's your lockdown. That's pretty much a lockdown. Like, that's really hard to get over. Makes you do only a specific few plays. And especially if all of your monsters are in defense, they can't 101 you. They can't do a lot of stuff to you if you have all these monsters on the field. You can add other monsters to this combo too, like Gantala of the Ice Barrier. During the end phase, you can special summon an Ice Barrier monster from your graveyard. So if they did get over the combo a little bit, you can special the guy back out, and then they're stuck again. And then they have General Ryo of the Ice Barrier. When your opponent would activate an effect on the field, they have to discard a card for that effect to resolve, otherwise it's negated. That card is super strong. I love that card. I don't know why it doesn't see play anyways. But yeah, so like those, that's the Ice Barrier deck to me. And they have a few other support cards. Like, they have a Rota for the deck that can tutor any Ice Barrier monster, which is just stupid broken, and I don't understand, like, with a card that broken, the deck is still really crappy. So you can just tutor any Ice Barrier monster out of your deck. They have a card, if you have three Ice Barriers in your hand, you reveal them, pop a card your opponent controls, and then special one of them. Super good. They have a card that says you can discard an Ice Barrier monster to draw another card. It's a Dark Rule Dealings and lets your deck get moving. So decks like these are just so fun. I feel like people should actually be playing them. So like when Tidal Barriers were out, I actually played the deck. Played it at Gen Con. No important tournaments, don't worry guys, I didn't play it there. I played it at Gen Con versus the Duel of the Masters. Because I was playing Prophecy at the time, it was last year. When Judgment Day was legal and the Baby Dragons were legal. The Baby Dragon rules were legal. Playing Joe Bogey, they roll the dice, the spin thing. It lands on the Cyber Dragon one. And if you guys don't know what the Cyber Dragon one is, the rule versus that Duel of the Masters is, every monster on the field, hand, and grave or something is treated as a machine-type monster. And I looked at my bag, and I had a dragon deck. I can't use that because everything is dragons, and I can't activate any effects. So I would just lose. So I couldn't play that deck. I couldn't play spell books because everything would be a constant DNA surgery, and I would never be able to get over it. So I was like, I can't play this deck either. So I'm just kind of at a loss for words. My other two decks were something like Fableds and then Ice Barriers. So I was like, I'm just going to play Ice Barriers. They're kind of strong right now and I have titles, which seems good. So I put Ice Barriers in and I grinded Joe Bogey down while playing this Cyber Dragon deck down to 300 life points. And I almost had him, and it was like the best thing ever. His face was just like stone cold white that he was almost losing to Ice Barriers while playing this broken deck that wins against a certain rule. So if you guys didn't know what this rule was, all machine types are treated as, all monsters are machine as machine types, and he was running Cyber Dragon, so all he had to do was summon a monster, and then you can Gladiator Beasts do, they fuse in from the extra deck without using Super Poly to get Chimera Tech Fortress Dragon on the field. So basically what this guy would do is I would make a board, then he would summon Cyber Dragon and Chimera Tech me, and so he just kept doing it over and over and over again. But the deck had so much recoverable power that it did not matter that he kept nuking my board and making these big beat sticks. And so that was something that's so awesome. Like, Prior of the Ice Barrier is amazing. If you guys don't know what it does, it can tribute itself off the field to special summon any Ice Barrier from your graveyard. Now, I know these aren't legal anymore, but that also includes Bryonic of the Ice Barrier and Trishula and like Gungnir and stuff like that. So like you could even get these really powerful synchro monsters back from the graveyard with this card. And so like that's the thing to me that makes this deck really good, that you can make Ice Barrier synchros and they're strong. If Bryonic came back, the deck would be really good, I feel like, because it actually has some good synergy with their synchros. You know, go figure. But they're so broken they had to ban them for everyone else. So makes me sad the Ice Barriers had to lose some synchros. That was something I found that was really interesting. So basically the deck had so much recursive power, and especially the fact that they were all waters, so you could just get titles back to get beat sticks on the field. And it was awesome, and you could make Big Eyes and Draco Sacks, which I did own, and like, it was fun. So something like that, like, where it's not any means meta, but at the same time, it's a little bit better than a rogue deck. Because rogue decks to me are something like, that can win duels quickly and easily, like, maybe like Six Samurais in their prime, or like, Reversal Quiz right now. Or stuff like that, where it's, or like maybe Prophecies, like just where like they can obviously win duels, but you're not going to see a lot of players playing them just for one reason or another. Usually, if you're going to see a lot of players playing a deck, it's because someone thinks it's broken or someone won a tournament with it, and so everyone starts, you know, hopping on the train and riding it out and just getting on the hype train. And I think that's kind of silly. Like, I love hype. I think hype is interesting, and I love seeing, knowing what is played in the meta. Because I don't like facing rogue decks a lot, but I think the rogue decks are so good. And I'm talking almost more like pre-rogue. I don't even know, like, this rant is not even really about just rogue decks. Because, like, sure, rogue decks are awesome, and you're always going to get your players playing them, but I'm almost even talking about a little bit worse than rogue decks. Where those, like, Hidden Arsenal decks, and those decks that came out, like Battle and Boxers, were just, could never see legitimate competitive play, but they should just see play at a free tournament or your locals and stuff, by, like, good players. That's something I've never understood. Like, good players always play good decks, and obviously they're going to be good, but bad players can play bad deck or good decks, and they'll be bad. So if a good player plays a bad deck, I think they're still good. The thing is, you just have to have enough practice and have enough wherewithal to build your own deck, and you can do strong and, you know, competitive plays, which is why I've always been a contender of playing these fun decks, and I'm trying to get back into it to actually play them at our tournaments and stuff more recently. So this is my vendetta to everyone, to please start playing these fun neg zero rogue decks, completely less than tier four. Like, I mean, I don't know, they're just like really bad decks. Just play them, make them good, make something surprise, like go to regional with it if you get good enough with the deck, top it, like get top 32. The game of Yu-Gi-Oh will freak out about how good you are with the deck, and the price of all your decks will go up. I think it's awesome. Now, this is kind of a bad example because they got a support card and they're broken now, but I built a Kokimiru deck a while back. You might have seen it. And I've built several Kokimiru decks because, you know, we're Iron Core. I wanted to play a Kokimiru deck. So I built this deck. It was right around Cosmo Blazer when Tinky came out. I noticed the fact that it was right around the time Tinky came out, someone told me that I was retarded because I didn't play a Kokimiru deck when I was called, you know, Team Iron Core. So I was like, all right, you know what? I'll just go ahead and build this deck. I played Rock Sun, but I'll go ahead and play a pure Kokimiru for him just for his enjoyment. I look up there, find the most broken card is Urnite, and like it took me 2 seconds to realize how broken he was. And then I realized in 2 seconds later that he was a Beast Warrior and you could be tutored with Tinky. So I built a deck. It's on there. It's really old. I built this deck, devised it, and later on, I'm not saying that it was stolen. I really don't care. It's the game of Yu-Gi-Oh! People can have the same ideas. There is no necessarily original idea, in my opinion. MCole40 posted a video that was very, very similar to my build, and I thought it was awesome. He had a lot of good ideas that I hadn't thought about, and he played the deck. And after putting up that deck, a lot of other people started playing it, example, and it was really good. Later on, we got a support card called Diamond Core of Kokimiru. If you guys don't know what it was, it's just busted. And the deck is amazing. I actually ended up selling the deck for like $100 or something at Nats, just because other players really wanted to play it, and I didn't feel like playing it anymore. Like, stuff like that, where, like, if you can vent a really fun rogue deck, it could be really good even before, you get support cards for it. For example, like, the deck was really good before Iron Core, or Diamond Core, sorry, because you could still make, like, 3 Tiger Kings in a turn without even blinking. So I thought the deck was really fun, and I played it at a few of my locals, and then we got the support card, which made it actually amazing, so I traded the deck off. So, like, something like that, where you can play a really fun deck, find an interaction of your own, and then play it. If you guys don't know the deck I'm playing right now, it's Ninjas. Ninjas are super strong. They act a little bit like the Artifact Trap Tricks hand deck. If you guys want to see my profile, I'll be posting it later today, or yesterday, depending on when you guys are listening to this. The deck basically acts like Hat, but instead of running artifacts, you're running Ninjas. And Ninjas is recursible plus of engine. Hanzo lets you tutor for a spell and or a trap, or spell or trap. That is a ninjutsu art, and then you can, when it's special summon, you add a ninja from your deck to your hand. Then you play Upstart Golden Ninja, which when you can discard a trap card to special a ninja from your deck. If you special Hanzo, then you can tutor another ninja and keep going. And then I run Ebisu, which acts like a mini giant Trunade if you control a ninja monster. So basically what happens is you keep looping these ninjas to get big beat sticks on the field, and then you can summon your artifacts, your trap tricks, and then your hands to get over your opponent's plays. So the deck acts a lot like just plus one-ing every single turn, and it's just really strong. The only thing that really stops it is Mistaken Teaking, and even then you can attack over it and have a lot of traps and stuff, so it's not something you really worry about. The deck is super strong, and I actually went X2 at it with a regional. I can talk about that later if you guys are more interested in it, but went X2 at a regional, gave my win the last round to the guy. I beat this Lightstorm player, I trounced him 2-0, and then I just said, you have the win, I already have my invite, and I walked off, because I didn't really need my invite, I already had it. So I was just a nice player with that. Most people don't like doing that, but I did. So I did that, and then I've also played a few of my locals, and it's really good. You can go look at my build, it's really fun. I would suggest testing it. One of the things, the reason I found and made the deck in the first place was because I was running ninjas and like the ninja lockdown with White Dragon Ninja and stuff like that. It's good, but it would lose to stuff, because if someone found a way around your lockdown, you'd lose. So what I did was I found that Traptrix Mermilio is an insect, and the Ninjutsu Art of Transformation can special summon an insect monster from your deck. And what happens is when Mermillo is special, you pop a card on the field, a spell or trap on the field. So what happened is I decided that this would be much better than running a White Dragon lockdown. And so what happens is I put the cards in the deck, and the interaction between Hanzo and Mermillo was really strong, especially after Diana came out. Because after Diana came out, it makes Mermillo or Diana alive almost every time, because you can have a Mermillo whenever you choose, which is really strong. And you can also get out Darkside Morgue, which locks down a lot of different decks from your opponents could have, and it makes them have to think about outs. And for one card Hanzo into Hanzo becomes a one card Darkside Morgue. And Darkside Morgue is a strong card that your opponent has to think about plays. And even if you really don't care about the card, like, you have all your other traps and stuff, and your plussing still happening. So if they get over Morgue, it's not your end game. So I think it's so strong. It's actually a deck I'm playing competitively for right now, that and Lightsworns. I think it's a really fun deck, and so, like, I've been playing something like that. It was a little bit more rogue, but it's still really fun and good to play, and I think people should actually start picking this up. And this is my rant for you guys, to my vendetta, if you will, to start playing really good, fun, crappy decks. I want to see your guys' decks when you make them. Send them to me on Facebook or YouTube or something like that. Just message me. I'd love to see them. If you guys don't add me on Facebook already, my name is Gavin Scott Miller on Facebook. You guys can add me. I do lots of Yu-Gi-Oh stuff on there. So yeah, please send me your guys' decks. I would love to see them. I just love rogue decks. One of my favorite decks of all time, I played against DN. The guy trounced me. He goes normal summon Cerebral, special summon, or set a bunch of cards, special summon Bubble Man. He synchros for Raging and draws a bunch of cards. Does it again. So he has two Rages on the field. He then makes Pallades, because they're both lights, and has like five cards set and pass. I summon a card. He activates Black and White Wave, which says if you have an Exceed monster in the field that has a Synchro material under it, you can banish a card your opponent controls, then draw a card. So the combo of this deck was to make this Pallades with this card turn one, and it completely shut me down, and it was just the best thing I've ever played against, my favorite deck of all time. I got over his cards, and then immediately afterwards, he activates Miracle Fusion and kills me for game. It's so good. He made Shining and just swung for game. So I would love to see decks like this, where it's just something completely out of the ordinary, what you would expect. Love to see them. Send them to me on Facebook, and I'll even, if you guys want me to, I'll post them up on our profile and give you guys the shout out for the deck that you made. Just give us some more content and you guys some knowledge of what your guys' team is and stuff like that, because I'd love to collaborate with people. Yeah, after that, I would like to tell you guys a little bit more about our channel and stuff like that. If you guys aren't already following us on YouTube, you should go subscribe to us. We are youtube.com/TeamIronCore, all one word. Please go add us on there, watch our videos, like, comment, subscribe, do all that stuff. It helps us out a lot, gets our channel more well-known. I would love to become a better Yu-Gi-Oh! Channel for you guys, so you guys can have a lot more content, a lot more interesting stuff. I think there's sometimes a little bit of a lacking super competitive podcast out there, so that's why I'm doing this for you guys. If you guys are watching on YouTube right now, please go and subscribe to our podcast. That's going to be on iTunes, it's going to be on Podomatic, and the links will be underneath in the description. So yeah, vice versa. If you're watching on podcast, go subscribe to us on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, go subscribe to us on podcast. I'm going to be posting this podcast up on YouTube, so if you guys are watching right now, awesome for watching. Thank you. We also have a Facebook page. Facebook, you can just search Team Iron Core. You'll see the Iron Core, and that's us. Please add us on there. We're going to be posting all of our content from our different channels and a bunch of interesting stuff for you guys to watch. So please go on there and watch. And finally, I want to talk to you guys. We've been sponsored by our locals, gamers. Please go up and find them on their website, www.indiegamers.com, gamers with a Z. Indiegamerswithaz.com. Just go ahead and add them on there. Look it up. They're really awesome. The guy, Tim, he's super cool. One of my favorite people. Their store is very awesome. They are very good. They make a lot of tournaments and do a lot of fun things. We have a great turnout. We're in Greenwood, Indiana, so I don't know why they're actually called Indie Gamers. I think they must have moved recently, lol. Come here and visit us on Locals. That's where we go to our Locals, so come down and visit us. That's pretty much all for this podcast. Thank you for listening to Card Car P. Gavin out.